Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
That didn't dampen our spirits when we met up at the Orono Fair this past weekend.
No.
What a time we had in Orono, Ontario.
Even before I saw you, our official greeter to the town greeted you at the fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, the woman, she put the finger in the hole.
Yeah, she came right up to both of us. We're like, all right, now we have to go see the big cucumber. I'm like, what? Sure enough, there was a massive cucumber there. He wasn't lying. All of a sudden, this massive dude comes up to me. And it was Bickle. It was Brian Bickle.
Well, I thought it was Rocky for a minute. I hear commotion outside my house, and I'm like, what? No one in this town ever? What's going on?
Right.
So I look across the street at the town hall, and there's a bunch of people out front. So
and they're like, we want Dan out. We're losing you, Andy.
Andy, did you go into a cave?
Are you in a cave, Andy?
I'm not in a cave.
Oh, you're back. Okay, we got you.
Oh, good. I'm safe.
Okay,
I got out.
Good.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
It chubby boys.
Dance.
It's the last Jay and Dan podcast
ever?
Before the live tour.
Oh, yes. This Friday it begins.
Yeah.
In Victoria.
You know what? I haven't been...
McPherson Theater.
I haven't been to BC since the 2010 Olympics.
Why?
And I have family that live there.
Why is that?
I don't know.
We lived on the West Coast for 4 years.
I don't get out a lot. So yes, our podcast tour kicks off this weekend. Oh boy, that's a good start.
So fired up.
I am fired up for this podcast tour. It's going to be great. This Friday in Victoria at the McPherson Theater, and then this Saturday in Vancouver at the Vogue Theater.
That's right. And we spoke to my brother Sean, who lives in Vancouver, and we spoke to him on speakerphone on Friday, and I believe he asked while we were having a cocktail. Oh, I was talking to him anyway. Maybe.
It's all a bit of a blur.
And he asked for approximately 37 tickets. I said, we got you for two.
You're good for two, buddy. Flesh and blood is good for two ticks.
Yeah
it's...
speaking of two...
It's going to be huge.
Speaking of two ticks. Eddie Money. R.I.P.
Yeah, he's gone. You're very sad about this because I know you're a huge fan. And then Rick Ocasek yesterday. The most surprising thing about Rick Ocasek, 75 years old, who would have thunk it?
He looked the same age his entire life.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I remember once
Eddie Money did not.
No, he didn't. He did. He aged like a normal human. But I didn't realize Rick Ocasek and Paulina Poroskova had announced they'd split up like about a year ago.
I guess it was amicable.
28 years together. I remember seeing him in New York City once, just walking down the street. Just a towering man. You know, like, because I'm a tall guy, so when I see someone
he's a tall
my
guy.
Height, oh, he's like,
he looked like a short guy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's so tall. And he was just walking his kid to school in his Rick Ocasek uniform, like leather jacket.
My sunglasses. Rick Ocasek starter kit.
I think that's all the things he had in his closet.
Here's the thing I always wonder about rock stars.
Here's the thing.
Especially like heavy metal guys or guys like Beck. He's not heavy metal, I know. Can they go and not wear the rock costume if like they're out for a sunny day? Can they wear like shorts and a t-shirt? Are they allowed?
Great question, and I have the answer. Remember I told you this story when my wife and I went to Santa Barbara and we were sitting around the pool and there are all these hipsters coming to the pool at this nice hotel. And I was like, what is going on here? This doesn't make sense. And then all of a sudden, my wife says,
my wife.
Who's that Swedish guy over there? Like, everyone else is in shorts, and that guy's in, like, a leather jacket and jeans. And I look over, and I'm like, that's Beck. That's Beck over there. This is his band. This all makes sense now. Like, because they were playing in town that night. So it all made sense. Like, but to answer your question, no, clearly he didn't feel comfortable wearing it. Just a t-shirt and shorts. It was like 35 degrees out, and he was still in a leather jacket. He came over, sunglasses, said something to one guy, and then walked away.
F*** you, I'm a rock star.
Probably like, I'm going back to my room to take a s***.
I'm going back to my room where there's air conditioning. You see what I'm wearing? But you can just put shorts on. No, I can't.
I think about that, though, sometimes. Like, someone as gentle and artsy as Beck, do you think, like, and he's on a long tour... and they're on a tour bus, and like he just has to take a shit at some point, right? We're all humans.
Not on the bus. That's a fine.
But he's Beck. It's his bus. He's employing everyone. He's like, guys, I know I'm Beck, and I know this is technically a no-no on every tour bus, but I'm about to take a nasty shit right now on this bus.
You don't announce
I'm
it.
I'm Beck.
You just go and try
well,
and hope it
Well, I think
it
it's better if
escapes.
You do announce it, because there's zero chance that doesn't stink up the bus.
Because you have to tell the bus driver, because he's got to empty that thing.
I think
stat.
You have to do it. Okay. I think that's the way you do it. But yeah, very sad about anybody. We got to that.
We've got a lot to get to. I don't know what we should do first. Should we talk about our Friday journey? Should we get to Danny? Should we get to our mail?
Well, Danny's here, so I think we should start with Danny Wright, our social media guy. He's sitting right in between us. Danny, first of all, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, everything's good.
How was your weekend?
It was good. Yeah, I went out with my brother for a couple drinks on Friday.
Nice. Did you guys get along well?
Which was always fun. Yeah. Yeah, we get along really well.
Yeah.
What's it like getting along with a brother?
That's why I asked.
I kid.
It's awesome. Yeah, so we went out for some drinks, and then pretty much after drinks now, the next day's a write-off.
Right.
So Saturday.
But really? Are you at that point already?
Wait, how late were drinks, though? What was the last drink consumed?
Probably around 1:30 or 2.
Okay, yeah. Next day's a write-off, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a fun
It kind of is.
Have you gotten, so what's your age?
I'm 29.
Have you gotten into the red wine, or do you drink beer all night?
I have gotten into the red wine.
Okay, there.
See, I never understood when people would say, like, oh, yeah, you can't, once you get to a certain age, you can't drink as many beers. Last couple years.
Slowing down.
It's hit me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'll have a couple, and I'll be like, I cannot keep drinking beer.
Right,
yeah, I just can't do it.
How about Chardonnay? You like
Chardonnay?
Nice, crisp Chardonnay. Maybe going to
an
Argos game.
An Argos game. I would enjoy a nice Chardonnay at an event like that.
So what brings you here?
Yeah, you have something in front of you there. What is that?
Yeah, so I was given gifts to give to you guys.
Ooh, I like gifts.
We've got Tim Hortons Smile Cookies.
This is awesome.
So the Smile Cookies are at Tim Hortons now for $1, I believe. And these ones are custom Smile Cookies.
Never seen these.
You've never seen them to look like you guys.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so that what producer Tim told me is the Tim Hortons cookie designer was tasked with this. Wow, this is really good. I'm actually very impressed with this.
They're pretty cool. I need to take a video of this here, so don't mind me.
Look at that.
A smile cookie, and that's me with pink hair.
Wow, this is really well done. Let me see yours, Dan. Can you hold yours up?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have like a... That's
Lego hair.
You've got like a part in your hair there.
Yeah.
It gave you a nice part in there. Well, I got to say, this is great.
All right, before you guys, since I'm the social media guy, I'm going to take pictures of both of you guys.
Yep. Let's do it.
With the cookies.
This is part of Danny's
job.
This
is my job.
This is what he has to do.
Thank you, Toolsy.
Thanks, buddy.
And then here.
Hey, when are we having a night out in your hometown, the Hammer? And I'm serious about this.
Well, I know you guys haven't talked about furthering the podcast tour yet.
Oh.
But when we do talk eventually about coming to Ontario.
Yes, go on.
I believe Hamilton should be a stop.
I think there's no question about
it. I say we should do a location search in December in the lead up to Christmas. Spend the night in the Hammer.
All right, let's do it. I've got a place there to stay. We'll bunk up.
Is it your parents?
It's my parents.
Have they built new hotels? Is it like the Detroit? Are they building boutique hotels, or is it not that far yet?
No, Hamilton's a growing city as far as, the downtown core, they're really building it up as far as restaurants go, nice hotels. I think with the Grey Cup coming in a couple years, I think it's in a few years, they needed to have all that kind of locked down. Just to prove to the CFL that they should be able to handle a Grey Cup, and they did. So
I think a Grey Cup in the Hammer would be a blast.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome.
And you have Arkells do the halftime show.
Exactly, it
writes
itself.
Mama. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great time. Hey, now, just so we know, the Smile Cookie, all proceeds going to local charities, right?
All proceeds to local charities.
Yeah. So just so everybody knows that. So head to Tim Hortons.
They're and, for a good cause.
How long can we buy the Smile Cookies? I don't know how long we can.
I think it's a week long.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So get there this week. In the lead up to the Victoria Vancouver stops and the old podcast tour.
Yep.
Come on. It'll be fun.
All right. Perfect.
All right. Thank you, boys.
Thank you,
thanks,
Danny
buddy.
Wright.
All right.
Good
I'll see you back there for the show tonight.
See you back there.
See you back at the coal mine.
Back at the coal mines. Back in Gino's
now,
office.
Now, do we have to get to our first guest before we tackle our Friday experience?
I don't think so.
He's not tight for time?
I have no idea.
I thought the one you said, the gentleman that we work with, I thought we were calling him.
Oh, 8:45. Yeah. Oops, we're late. Yeah, I guess we should call him. We better call him. Let's give him a call. We'll talk about the weekend after then. Well, I mean, this is related to the weekend.
Okay.
This gentleman that we're calling was one of the many TSN invitees to the Jeff O'Neill wedding. We were not among those invitees.
No, I didn't find out about the wedding until a week before.
I didn't find out about it until social media started posting about it. But that's actually bad because that means that shows that I'm not. I should be listening to those guys on the radio more. They're so great on the radio.
They are amazing.
But I always, I'm always doing stuff for the kids or whatever.
You don't have to explain it. Been there, done that.
Yeah, I don't.
Every day during our conference call, I've got to put my phone on mute because I'm cooking dinner or changing diapers or. Oh, I guess my kids aren't in diapers.
Seems like that's we're past that now.
Yeah, I
changing
hope so.
Diapers, it might be a problem. Well, or it's fine. I don't know. Not every kid gets out of diapers right away. Some go into their teens. That's just being extremely lazy. Just like, that'd be great. Just my sister's youngest kid was, I'm convinced he took so long to be potty trained, like the pooping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fully convinced it's because he just was f-ing with her.
But wait, peeing I can see, but pooping, you sit in it.
But he would have like a... Yeah, like he would have a pull-up on, or he'd have like, yeah, he'd just himself. But like we'd be sitting by the pool, and all of a sudden he'd just be sitting there with a grin on his face.
Sounds like our first guest.
Yes, very much like Duthie, sitting around the pool in his palatial mansion north of Toronto.
Another place we've never got the invite to. Are we persona non grata around here?
That kind of goes without saying, doesn't it?
Duthie?
I swam naked the other night.
Oh, isn't it liberating?
I love doing that.
Oh, this is disturbing.
It was... But go on. Well, I was looking for my bathing suit, and it was dark. Like, I always just hang my bathing suit outside and then just grab it the next day when I go swimming, and I have a little cabana, and I change in the cabana. But I don't know. It was a nice night, and I just felt free.
Hmm. Kids are...
It was like midnight. Everybody was asleep.
I was just going to say,
neighbors.
Kids aren't sitting around the pool.
No.
Okay, good.
When do you crank the heat in that pool until? When? Because I think it might be one of the earlier years this year.
No, that's a great question, Dan, because I've been contemplating. I have it at 84, and I haven't been in it except that naked time the other night. So, and that's getting cool at night, so I'm probably blowing about $80 a day.
Ooh.
But I'm going to keep her going for a couple of weeks.
I like
just
the
in case I get the urge.
Well, I like the idea of a Crave TV miniseries, James Duthie's Naked Time.
We were over in Espanol this summer, and near our, we stayed in just this little town on the coast, and there was a nude beach there, and I was going to go in there too. My daughters wouldn't let me because I admire the Europeans because they just let it all fly in the wind.
Yeah,
and there's not like it's not. I don't know that I could do it. Like you, there's a lot of ugly bodies over there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They don't care.
No, they're not bashful. It's natural to them.
Were your kids with you?
Yes, right?
Yeah, I had two teenage daughters.
Okay,
so they
because
would not let me frolic.
I saw a naked man on the beach in PEI, and I had my two daughters and my niece. And what do you say when you see a naked man approaching? Do you just pretend Like, they knew what was happening. We all knew what was happening.
Approaching. We
were walking one way down the beach. He was walking the other. He gave me the, like, kind of like, sorry, but I'm just an old dude. There was no one else on this beach. I'm by myself.
What?
I don't know if it's still that legal.
Wait a minute. He was just naked, but it wasn't a nude beach.
No, it was like a beach that no one else was on. Like, you have to walk around these cliffs and stuff. We were exploring, like, there's like caves inside the cliffs, and then we walk around a corner. We're like, oh,
I don't think that's cool. I mean, I think it's cool that you ran into him. And I don't think it's right.
There was, when I lived in BC, there was Wreck Beach, I think, in Vancouver.
Yes, correct. Vancouver, by UBC.
Is a nudie beach. But, yeah, I was, my child, you know, my teenage girls, they don't want to see anything. They're just disturbed by the whole thing. But, no, in your backyard pool, it's the best.
That is pretty good. Are you,
you guys can come over. We can all frolic.
We're just waiting for the invite. Dan was just saying, speaking of invites, we didn't get one to that O-Dog wedding over the weekend, and it looked like the event of the season.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story.
Okay.
So, I am not very organized, and, O-Dog's lovely, girl, Jumi is his bride. And she sent out a nice email whenever in the spring with the invitation and said she'd blocked off some rooms at the Westin, as they tend to do at weddings. They block rooms off, and I didn't book one. So about a week or 10 days before, I couldn't get a room, and I guess I mentioned it to O, and he said, oh, I got a buddy in town who's got a condo, so you can use it. It's a nice condo, and why don't you have, like, Dregs and Bob, and all you guys can stay at the condo. It'll be really nice. And I said, it didn't really sound like a good idea. I'd rather have a hotel room. I'm sure my wife would. But I don't know. Then he said, you're staying there, right? I want you to stay there. So I said, okay, because I'm being a good friend. And then Bob said, no chance was he doing that.
Yeah.
And then Dreg said, no chance was he doing that. So it was left with me and the evil Quizmaster, who, I don't know, have you talked about the evil Quizmaster on the podcast before?
We probably have.
Larry David, for the listeners, he's a Larry David lookalike who masters the quiz, and very Larry David-esque in his behavior.
Oh, still, right? Uses pencils.
Yeah, yeah, he's a freak.
Yeah.
And so he was the only one who agreed to stay because he's cheap.
Yes.
At the place.
Yes.
So now it's me and the quizmaster, and I don't know, the whole thing was a little weird. So I said to the quizmaster, and then O-Dog, I said, how many rooms are in this place? He said, oh, there's a couple of rooms. And I'm like, well, how are you going to have eight of us stay there with our wives?
Yeah.
And he says, oh, yeah, and there's a couple of my hockey player buddies are staying there. So now I'm like, oh, God. So I texted the quizmaster because he was going up before me, and I said, when you get to the place, give me the lowdown, okay? Because
you can bail.
So the quizmaster calls me as I'm going up to Collingwood, and he says, James, I just got to the place, and there was supposed to be a number code on the door. There wasn't. So I knocked on the door, and some guy answered, like, in his underwear, and he had no idea who Jeff O'Neill was.
Oh, my gosh.
So he goes, I'm at the Comfort Inn now. I booked a room at the Comfort Inn. Do you want me to book your room there? So I booked a room at the Comfort Inn, a beautiful Comfort Inn, Collingwood. I got the last room at the Comfort Inn. So it turns out that Jeff's buddy, I guess, emailed him the wrong address. So it wasn't really O-Dog's fault, but the whole thing was a disaster. But the nuptials, they were fine. We didn't go to the wedding. They just had a reception, you know?
Right,
it's like a
right.
party.
I like that. We kind of did the same thing. And he also stole the McDonald's, late night McDonald's. He stole that from us, too. So.
It was horrible.
What?
They don't sponsor your pod, do they?
No, they don't.
I haven't done McDonald's in a long time. I used to love it, but the fries, I don't know. I think it's just when they have to mass order and it takes a half an hour to get there or something. It was just
I had
a couple of fries and it was
those mushy. Those poor Collingwood high school kids who are just trying to do a Saturday night shift were like, we need 300 fries now, and they were overwhelmed.
Here's my problem with Duthie. I would have had a better reaction to that story if I hadn't already heard it this afternoon on Overdrive.
Well, I can't.
Do you not come with new material?
Oh, okay. What else do you want? Let me come up with some stuff for you.
I was fine with it.
I got something else for you. Oh, no. Oh, talked about that on Overdrive, too. Somebody decimated the bathroom.
Yes, I heard that.
Now you have to tell that.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. I actually left pretty early. I've really gotten lame.
Was the person who decimated the bathroom Beck? That's just a callback joke. Sorry. Now, okay, so wait, somebody...
I don't know what happened, but O apparently got called back to the to the place the next day, and someone had just destroyed one of the toilets.
They took on a massive dump, and then they vomited on top of it. And
Yes.
Awful story.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The old dump vomit?
And it was in the women's washroom, correct?
Yeah, and the thing was, they have video surveillance, and it was Gino.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey-o!
That makes perfect sense. He was crushing it. What, so you said you shut her down early? You weren't...
Yeah, like midnight or something. I don't know why. I felt, I don't know, I'm a lightweight. I'd had a few drinks, too. I was just starting to have fun, and then... Yeah. I don't know, my wife was a little tired, and the Comfort Inn was just beckoning.
Yeah, 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 she knew.
So we went over to the Comfort Inn.
Yeah, quiet time. Love. That's wonderful. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe...
Yeah, there's fresh material for you.
Yeah, love making.
And you got a bowl of Raisin Dan.
that was funny. So we... You didn't talk about
it. No, we haven't told
this story. When you come in halfway through the podcast,
that's right.
Have you discussed this already?
No, we have not. We have not, actually.
So another example, number 10,000 of your widespread popularity. We all went for dinner before because we weren't invited to the wedding dinner. So it was an odd collection. So there was Noodles.
Yeah.
Noodles, Jamie McLennan, and his beautiful bride, Steph. And then there was Dave Poulin. Former captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, two-time Selke winner, and his lovely girl. And who else did we have there? There was Gino Retta, his lovely wife. There was Dregs and his girl Holly, and myself, and Brooksy, my girl. And who else? I'm going to miss somebody here. Oh, yeah, Kara Wagland. Kara Wagland was the...
And no Quizmaster?
Oh, and the Quizmaster.
And Quizmaster.
That was the people at dinner at this restaurant, and there was a bit of a fracas because it was all these big TSN personalities.
Sure. Yeah, you guys strolled in, chests puffed out.
Yeah, it's like really bad version of Entourage. And and so at some point, the waitress came out with this little plate, and she said, the chefs are big fans, and so they brought you an extra appy. And she put it down the table, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And everybody was extremely perplexed. And she said, it's Raisin Dan. And I'm like, what? Because it was kind of loud in the restaurant. She says, it's Raisin Dan. And she had no idea what the hell that meant. And I guess I must be the only one that watches your show and listens to the podcast. Because no one else at the table, the Quizmaster, Gino Dregs, they had no idea what it was. And I was the only one that knew about the Raisin Dan gag. And I thought it was quite funny. So they had a bowl of raisins and a little cup of milk. That's what the chefs thought would be funny to send out.
I love it. I love that they did that. And I love that the rest of that crew doesn't even remember that we're still at the network.
Yeah. Just so everyone knows, Raisin Dan was a brand of cereal that we came out because there was OVOs and all it was raisins.
Yeah. So. I mean, you know, I laughed. Yeah. I actually really laughed at that bit.
It was a great bit. It was a great bit. Hey, we're about to take the podcast on the road, James. This Friday, we're in Victoria at the McPherson. And then on Saturday, we're in your old stomping grounds in Vancouver at
we're
the Vogue Theater.
The Rubber Boots podcast is,
is
opening
right?
for you guys.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're like, we come on at 7:30. Nobody's there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we do a short set. And then warm you guys up, and then the crowd comes.
Yeah, you don't want to go into a cold room. That's what our guy told us.
Can you send us some old tapes from you from VTV?
I got to find... you actually inspired me, Dan, because I do listen to you guys. I'm faithful, as I know you guys listen to the Rubber Boots Pod every week.
Big time. Yeah, I like Jim. I like Todd. I like Billy. I like all those guys
Here's
on that
pod.
Here's
what I do. Honestly, when I'm driving, I do a lot of podcasts now. Dan would know, because I always recommend the Crappy Murder ones to him. By the way, Dateline now has just decided to capitalize on their... And they've just taken their TV shows and put them in podcast form. But it's endlessly entertaining to just listen to Keith Morrison.
Oh, it's Keith Morrison voicing it?
Oh, yeah.
He does.
It's all the episodes. So today I was listening to Keith Morrison on the Manson murders, and he just takes such joy in it.
That sneaky DNA.
How old is Keith Morrison? He's got to be 80.
Yeah.
No one takes more joy in it than Morrison. But anyway, I will listen to you guys for sure on the long drives. I'll listen to the Daily to get educated, and then I listen to you guys to get uneducated.
Perfect.
But when Dan brought in his tapes, I got a good laugh, and it actually motivated me to try and find my tapes because I have, I think, I don't know if they're quite as bad as Dan's, but I have some... I have some bad ones. The worst ever. Now, you have to understand, I'm a little older than you guys, and I was the weather guy for a newscast that we did at Carlton, and I did a rap weather.
I
dressed up as Run DMC, and I sucked in some classmate named Boris Gomez, and we were like Run 320C. That was our class name. And I can still do the rap, and it's like, we're Run 320C, and we're here to say, listen up, homeboy, it's cold today.
It's not bad.
10 is the high, low tonight is... That was basically the way it went. It's really bad.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going. I was enjoying it.
All right. It's cloudy right now. Might rain tonight. Moderate winds till the morning light. Tomorrow going to be much the same. Cloudy and cool. Less chance of rain. That was kind of the way it went.
But here's the problem, Duffy. Everything you do, even when you try to be bad, it's good.
I know. I got an A+ on that. People,
because
like at the time in 19 whatever the hell it was when I was back in school, 90 or something like that, they were like, that was amazing.
What you need to do is look back at all your clothing choices. That's where you went wrong.
Well, and also I sincerely mean this. Your hair, your clothing, everything's improved with age. Just as little as 5 years ago, there was something disturbing happening with your barber.
Yeah, I know. When we show clips from old trade centers, I don't know what happened. Like particularly with my hair, and people would tell me, like, 100 people in my life told me, why are you doing this with your hair? Including the guy who cuts my hair. I hung on to the little kind of spiky tuft at the front.
Kind of like I have, perfect.
Yeah, like I hung on for it for like 10 years longer than I should have.
Right.
And Bob would tell me, and my wife would tell me, and my hair cutter would tell me, and I'm like, no, it's good. And now they'll show like old clips of trade stuff.
Oh, they're so good.
How do people even maintain watching the television?
They're so good. I love them. You're continuing to bring us joy.
Oh, God.
Hey, guess who our next guest on the podcast is going to be?
Who would that be?
Brooks Like.
Oh, so you can ask him. Here's how nice Brooks Like is. Example number 10. I was going to Washington with my family for a, you know, just one of those family summer trips. I think my daughter had a soccer tournament coming on maybe 8 years ago now. And we almost died, by the way. We hit a deer. Anyway, so I phoned
Brooks
Like.
There's a story.
Brooks Like. I had known him. We'd hung out at some golf tournaments out in Saskatchewan. And so I phoned Brooks and I said, what hotel should I stay in with my family? And he said, screw the hotel. I'm not there. You can have my house.
What?
And so he gave me I stayed in Brooks Like's house with my family.
That sounds a little bit better than that.
In Washington.
That sounds better than that condo in Collingwood.
Yeah. And then I got real creepy when he started dating Julianne Hough.
Yeah.
You can ask him this. I don't know. I FaceTimed him or something and I just asked him to put her on. Just was really weird. That was after I was swimming naked in the pool.
Duffy, what are you doing?
Why do you do this to yourself?
I don't know.
Doing
I liked
so
her
well.
A lot. She was like my secret crush.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure he was happy to hear that.
Why does he work out? Can you ask him? Can I ask a list of questions I submit?
Sure.
Why do you work out 9 hours a day?
We were going to ask him that
one. Stand on your hands and do all these things. Like, you know, I'm still the guy who goes down my basement. I do like a 30-second plank. Get on the elliptical for 15 and do bicep curls. And I watch him, and he's like doing handstands and like jumping off his roof. And
yes, and he does the big skiing one where you got pretend ski poles, and he's reefing on this thing.
I know,
and
I'm like, nuts.
But
they're living their best life.
But he's also not retired, so we're going to ask him about that because he's technically an unrestricted free agent.
I want to go back to James doing bicep curls in the basement.
Also, one thing, and this is other old material because I think it's in my book, but Brooks Like, it was central to one of the great gaffes of my career where I was doing a highlight pack during the playoffs, a day when I was, you know, just really tired and you're loopy and you get the scripts you get that are pretty bland. It just says Brooks Like scores on a wraparound or something. And so I'm watching the play and describing it. And what he did, he kind of fended a guy off as he went around the net. They were playing the Rangers in the playoffs. And I had the unfortunate choice of words to say, and then in the second, Rangers up 3-2, but look at Brooks Like beating a man off with one arm.
Yeah.
And I just kind of stopped, and I looked over, and it was Darren Pang and Bob McKenzie, and they were crying laughing. And I had to stop, and I had about 2.5 more minutes of highlights to go. And it was just, you know.
See, you caught me off guard there. I thought with the wraparound, you said you were going to say the reach around.
No, beating a man off with one arm.
That's pretty good. That's actually a pretty impressive feat, just one arm. Actually, yesterday, Dan took a because we now do the post-game show after all the footballs. We do the post game after.
Thanks
the
for
Sunday.
Watching, James. But never
you mean
mind.
Monday like at 7:30 when the game.
No,
over?
11:30 at night.
After the Sunday night game.
Yes. Yeah, after the Sunday night and the Monday night and the Thursday night. We do the post game. Yeah, we're a big deal now, Duffy.
Is that on CTV then?
No, they don't have the games. We do. We've got them. Yeah, it's CTV too.
Can you give everyone at that table as well a programming guide, please?
But Dan, we did the post game last night. Right. And so it's, you know, 11:20 Eastern until midnight. And then at midnight, we kind of reset, right? And we do the normal show. And so Dan,
producer Tim cannot be happy about
that. No, but he doesn't have to produce the. They have a separate producer come
different
in.
Guy.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So Dan is, you know, he's working hard and he's about to come back on. They're rolling the headlines, the opening headlines for the midnight show. And Dan takes a swig of his yerba mate, kind of too close to when we're about to come on camera. And it sort of splashes back. And he says on camera, "I just got splattered in the face." And I was supposed to keep a straight face for that, James. It's not right.
Well, I always, when I tell this story, and you guys probably know this one, the only thing worse than splattered in the face and beating a man off with one arm was Gino Red at the 2003 World Juniors. And forgive me if you've told this one, but coming out of a commercial break with what we call a hero shot for the listeners at home, just a highlight, and it was one of those low angle cameras of, I believe it was Brendan Bell hitting a player.
Yes, that's
in the
right.
Boards. And, yep. And Gino said, "Welcome back to the World Juniors on TSN. There's Brendan Bell coming in your face all
coming
night long.
Right in your face.
But coming
best,
right in your face.
But the best part of that, I believe, wasn't it taped, James?
I believe it was. It might have been they were doing a hit or something like that.
Yes.
And Bob stopped him and said, "You have to do it again." And then he did it again.
But
because
exactly,
he didn't even understand what
because
he
didn't understand. That's why they wanted him to stop. So he said it again. He said, "God, a lot of people will be coming in your face throughout the tournament if you keep watching TSN." And then Bob was like, "No, okay, wait."
But yeah. Isn't that the best? I always say our careers are the weirdest things because you'll never sit there in 20 years and remember some good, "Hey, that was a real good panel we did on the Leafs that night."
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's
but
all these stories.
Remember the idiotic things that you said.
It is true. And the nude swims we do with you.
Yeah.
Hey, Duffy, we got to let you go. We got to get to our guests.
You guys come over for a nude swim, and then we go out to Orono and do a nude hot tub.
And then we go into your basement and do some bicep curls. And I'm not really talking about bicep curls.
Bye, Duffy.
I don't know what that means.
Goodbye,
sorry.
Guys.
Thanks for coming.
Looks like interview goes better than this one.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Goodbye. Yeah, time to call up.
Tell him to say hi to Julianne for me.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right,
we will.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to get
good
the
guy.
So, well, Stoff is calling. We got a package from Talladega Super Speedway addressed to the Jay and Dan podcast. We have not seen this. This is for the Jay and Dan podcast and the boys. So they got something in here. Dear Dan, Jan, Stuff. Hi, Bods. Greetings from NASCAR's biggest and baddest track and Dan's favorite. We're big fans of the pod down here in Sweet Home, Alabama, and we always love when any of our Canadian friends join us for race weekend. 2019, huge year for us. We're completing a giant infield project and celebrating our 50th anniversary. We wanted to share the excitement, so here are a few limited edition goodies for you. Enjoy. Come see us again sometime. It's almost guaranteed to be a good time.
Wow.
Cheers, Kyle and the Talladega Super Speedway team. P.S. Go Preds.
Look at that. Very nice. Thank you, Kyle. That's kind of you.
A box of Coca-Cola, some Talladega shirts, some Talladega... Wow, this is great. Thank you, guys. That's a pretty nice gift.
Yeah, that's very nice. And some stickers.
I don't know what these are.
Or fridge magnets? Buttons? They look like stickers.
Talladega stickers.
Oh, that's cool. Your kids will love that.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Let's see what this is. I think it's a fridge magnet, actually. Yeah, I think it's a fridge magnet.
Do we have our guest on
that's
the phone,
cool.
Stuff? Oh, he's still trying to get him here.
There we go. And we should...
Oh,
I think he's got him. I think he's got him. He's got our guy.
Look at this bad boy.
There you go. That looks nice.
Thanks, Talladega.
Yeah, thank you, Talladega. What a surprise. You never know who's listening, right?
That's right.
You just never know. Boy, I'm very disturbed about Duthie doing biceps curls. I don't know why that disturbs me more than him swimming nude in his pool.
Or staying at Brooks Like's house.
Or you running into a naked person. What kind of a person just strips naked on a beach? If it's not a nude beach.
Again, it was an abandoned section. There weren't anyone for a couple kilometers. And I think he had the section to himself because you're shielded by.
So you just strip
rocks.
To nothing and like, yep, here we go. I'm nude now. Take me as I am, nature.
I guess.
That's really weird. What's going on, Stuff?
Yeah, we got Brooks.
Oh, we got him. Hey, there. Brooks, what's going on?
Good, sirs. Good to hear your voices.
Oh, man.
And by the way, Duthie has stayed at my house.
I know. He was just on the podcast. He told us how he went to Washington and stayed in your home while you weren't there.
Yeah, and he left his wife left a beautiful array of these spices and all this stuff in the kitchen, which I never used, but...
Was that their gift to you? Just a spice rack?
It was a really nice spice rack. I shouldn't say I never used it. My wife used a lot of it. Okay. She's a better cook than I am. I kind of throw barbecue sauce on stuff. But
honey, let's go over to Safeway and get some Clubhouse spices. We're good.
Yeah, come to L.A., boys. A little Clubhouse spice. Leave it and you're good.
How's L.A. treating you, my friend? How are you liking it?
Oh, I love it, man. I just love life here. The community is awesome. The people are awesome. Obviously, the weather is exceptional. But I really enjoy life out on the West Coast. I live most of my life on the East Coast, and I love life on the West Coast. And I miss you guys. Last time I saw you, Jay, it was kitty corner of the REI in Santa Monica. We bumped into each other. I miss you guys.
Well, listen, my wife just reminded me of that the other day, that I came back because it was right beside my apartment. And I looked across the street, and I saw you, and I said, "Brooks Like," and you saw me, and we looked at each. We had a moment.
And I'm glad that moment was better than our last moment, which was, remember our last moment in Minneapolis Airport, where
that's right.
We did the Minneapolis Airport 500. We covered every inch of it.
That's right.
It
we saw each
my
other.
Fault. I was like, guys, I got us. I know where we're going. Come with me. And I took us the completely wrong direction.
Well, we were waiting to get on a plane. We were all going to Regina?
I think so. Yeah, you were heading home, right, Brooks? And we were going to an event, I think.
There was a long delay. And we said, why don't we go get a drink? And then we forgot about the plane we were supposed to get on. And they made an announcement in the entire airport for us three. So we had to sprint.
Yeah, I fully accept blame for that. That was my bad. But it was fun. It was a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a good story. So Dan has a question he wants to ask you about your workouts. Because sure. You are literally the most fit human either of us have ever seen. And you seem to be more fit now than in the early days of your playing career.
I don't know if I'd be more fit now. It's just a different type of training. I've always loved the physicality and the preparation for hockey. But when I was playing hockey, everything was geared towards sport-specific training. So a lot of single-leg explosive stuff, everything was geared towards sport-specific training. And then also then I didn't share as much on social as what I do now. So I've always done an immense amount of training just because I loved it. I wanted to be the best hockey player I could be, but I also just loved the physicality and the challenge and the growth in it. And then now, even though I'm not playing, it's still a massive part of my life. My goals have shifted a little bit with it, but it's still a massive part of my life.
Are you trying to out-Instagram workout video PK Subban?
No, I'm not trying to do anything, man. I try and share health and fitness. It's immensely impacted the quality of my life, and I try and share that with people.
But you make us all feel guilty, people that don't work out. I'm like, he's working out again, and here I am sitting on the couch again.
Come down to L.A., brother. That's why I have a home gym, so I can host people. They come into L.A. We train for a couple days, sit by the pool, go to the beach.
Okay, I'm signed up for this. I am signed up for this.
Yeah, I love to have you. No, it's just fun. It's just I realized a long time ago in my life that I needed intense physical activity married with human interaction, and so I got that through hockey. And now I continue to get that through training, working out, having friends come in. Very enjoyable.
So speaking of hockey, where are you with your career now? Like last we knew you played with the Kings a little bit, a couple of years ago. Where does it stand now?
I'm currently at camp with the Maple Leafs. you guys didn't cover that?
There's so many of them out there.
Yeah. I haven't said I've retired, although that's probably just a personal thing. I just don't know if I like the word.
Right.
But I haven't been on the ice since the day I was released. When I played with the Kings here, I was tired of doing long distance. My wife and I had done long distance for 3.5 years while I was in D.C. and while I was in Toronto. And then when I played with the Kings here, I was, in my mind, it was Kings or bust. I wasn't prepared to move away from home and be away from my wife again. She lives in Los Angeles, has her own career, which I also want to support. When I was released from the Kings, when it didn't work out there, I was kind of at peace with, I was really happy that I was going to be at home regardless if I was playing or not. When I was playing hockey and at home, that was the best case scenario. Hockey then didn't work out, so I just wasn't ready to leave again. And so haven't laced up the skates since then. Probably done playing hockey as far as competitive and NHL is concerned. But if somebody's got a spot for me and wants to call me, hey, call me. But it would take a little while, I think, to knock the rust off.
But it doesn't sound like I mean, I guess maybe you do miss it, but if you haven't laced up the skates, it sounds like maybe you've moved on a little bit.
In a way, it's honestly, guys, it's been a really interesting journey transitioning from playing hockey every single day of your life to now not playing hockey. And what I really realized being out of the sport or away from the sport now is I always thought I just loved hockey, and I did. I loved the sport. But what I truly, truly loved was competition. And competition, I loved the competition that was laced within the sport. So playing with and against the best in the world is truly what I loved within the sport. Because hockey exists in L.A. here. There's leagues with ex-pros. There's some good pickup games. The sport still exists here. But without the uber competition level in it, it doesn't appeal to me right now at this stage in my life. And something I'm personally trying to work on is getting the joy and the love for hockey back in my life so that I go out and play some pickup. But what I've done is taken that competition level from hockey, repurposed it into other things like training to compete for the CrossFit Games and entrepreneurship and other areas of my life. So it was the competition element of the sport that I truly, truly love.
And you're in California, as we mentioned, because Jay and I always joke, when some of these guys retire, a few years later, they're an assistant coach somewhere or they're part of an organization in their front office, because we are convinced that they sit at home for a year and then they're like, I can't do this. I don't want to have to look after kids. I just get me out of the house.
I don't have kids yet.
So I know. So you don't miss like the routine of always going on the road, always going to hotels. You don't miss that.
I actually enjoyed that. I think one of the underappreciated things of hockey was the ability to travel, to see different parts of the world, different cities, travel overseas for international competitions. I kind of enjoyed that part of it. But it was just like looking at coaching, looking at switching to that side. I mean, you're hired to be fired. It's a job now. The sport would now be a job. Where I always played the sport because I love the sport. I just love to play. So I haven't given any thought to coaching. Honestly, it's I don't think it's in me. Hopefully, if we have kids one day, I'd love to coach them. But I'm really enjoying looking at all the other things in the world that I wasn't able to see within a hockey rink. My wife and I are able to travel now at any given time of the year. There's entrepreneurship.
Oh, uh-oh. Brooks, you there?
Brooksy.
Brooksy!
Uh-oh. We'll get him back. We'll get that guy back. What a positive guy. It's actually, if he did want to go into coaching, like, he would be an incredible coach, because he's just got
very
that
motivating.
Sort of, yeah, he's
yes.
got that motivating way about him.
Part of the Talladega gift pack was a Talladega 50 Years of Speed Coca-Cola bottles.
That's a 50-year-old bottle and 50-year-old Coca-Cola inside. And it is full. If you thought Coca-Cola had sugar in it now, back then it was almost 100% sugar. Oh, that's a bummer. We were just about to get to the...
our game.
Our rapid fire game.
We need to name it.
Yeah. Should we call it Jay and Jay and Dan's Rapid Fire?
Sure. I'm going to see what the...
You got some more t-shirts there. That's compelling podcasting.
Yeah. So I'm just taking a look here as Stoff tries to get a hold of
Brooks. What we should do is... we're kind of running out of time here to talk about our weekend because we were together in Montreal this weekend shooting a commercial for our friends at Bell.
That's right.
It was amazing. Had a great time.
Great experience. I stayed at the Royal York the night before because we had to fly out early. I checked into my room. By the way, the Royal York lobby, completely redone. It is unreal. It is now the best lobby in Toronto. I called it. I checked into my room.
Take that to the bank.
And there was a note for Nicole.
Oh, let's hear it.
The note said, "Nicole, thank you very much for your support in organizing this meeting. Your leadership and insight is a key part of the success of this weekend. Signed, Julie."
Sounds like Julie has a thing for Nicole.
Just a reminder, I'm not Nicole, but they left a tasty little plate of desserts for her, and I ate them.
All right, well, that's a perfect segue to get back into Jay and Dan's Rapid Fire segment. Brooks, you back with us, buddy?
Yeah, buddy. Sorry, I didn't pay my cell phone bill. Cut me off.
That is no problem. We got a we've got a segment here that we do with all with all players, where we're going to say a name of a guy you played with or a coach you played for, and we just want you don't have to say one word. You can say we'd actually like to say a few things,
like
about
a story
that
about them. Or something.
You know, you can say a story. You can say tell us a little bit about their personality, what you thought of them, and that's basically it. So are you ready for that?
I'm ready, buddy. I have a couple names that I think I know you guys are going to touch on, but
well,
let's go.
Well, number one is the big gun that you played with, Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, knew that one was coming. Rock star on ice.
Okay.
Just an absolute rock star on ice, and I was a great friend, awesome dude, loved him as a teammate, and I would say the best pure goal scorer the world has ever seen.
And can I ask you guys, he said it when you left the team, he talked about, I think he sent a tweet, it was pretty touching actually, that you know, you guys kind of came up together with that team and almost probably grew up together. You probably went through different stages with them where you saw almost his evolution as a guy coming from Russia and just learning the language and learning the culture and then it turning into the leader and the player that he ended up turning into.
Yeah, and I think that's part of our, like, he's a great friend. And it was our journey together. I was there for his first training camp, when he didn't speak great English. We spent all those years together. I think we played together for a decade or maybe even longer. So in that time, you go from a 19, 20 year old kid to now 29, 30 years old. And that's a massive developmental stage in life. You go from a kid to now being a man, to being married. And to be on that journey inside the rink and outside the rink with him, still a great friend, talk to him quite often, obviously love and support him, watch him, message him. We message quite often. He quite often chirps me on Instagram, which is really enjoyable. But I loved it. I truly loved playing with Al. Just fortunate to play with one of the best, I believe, that has ever played the game.
You would have been playing in that Washington Capitals golf tournament where he supposedly got the hole in one. We always play the clip where he's like, "Swear to God!" Were you playing in that golf tournament, and was there a hole in one?
Yeah, I was. And he's like, "Tiger, where are you?" but here's what happened. It was a hole in 237 is really what it was, because he got to sit. I mean, everybody, when they come to that tournament, they want to golf with Alex, right? So instead of just putting him with one group, they put him on one par three, and he just got to rip balls as everybody came through. They got to shoot at this par three with Alex, and so he probably ripped, honestly, 237 balls and just finally got one in. That being said, he still got one in.
It still counts.
Unbelievable. And I don't even know if he'd ever golfed before that.
Yeah, his swing did not look like he had. Okay, next on the list, Olaf Kolzig.
I love Ole. Absolutely loved coming to the rink with Olaf. Just a man I looked up to, respected. Loved his competition. Like, that man competed in the crease. You scored on him in practice, he would shoot pucks by your head. just a super competitive dude. Hell of a teammate. Helped me out so much when I was younger. And then he came back as a goaltending coach for us, and I always loved seeing him at the rink. He was a man I really looked up to and still look up to.
How about Mike Green?
Mike Green, one of my favorite all-time teammates. I love Green because he's everything I'm not. He's
not on time. He's not. He doesn't know where we're playing tomorrow or what time practice is. We used to live in the same building, and I'd have to wake him up. And he was just such a joy to play with. And off the ice, he was even more unorganized off the ice, which was awesome. I cherish my friendship with Mike. I still wish him well. I was really sad when we didn't re-sign him in D.C. and he went to Detroit. Really happy for him and Courtney and their family, but sad that I was going to miss my buddy. Love Mike Green.
How about Nick Backstrom?
Nicky is a wizard. So you touched on all my boys. Like Ovi, Nicky, and Greeny are my boys. So then we spent 10 years together in D.C. Nicky is probably the most underrated player in the league. Everybody on the team wants to play with Nicky. He just makes people better. And he's so respected. He is a great, quiet leader. He is quite often the best player on the ice every night, even though everybody looks at Ovi. It's Nicky that really carries the flow of the game, makes the most decisions, has the most touches with the puck, and just a fun dude off the ice.
He seems so quiet. Like, is he more outgoing, obviously, with you guys and that kind of thing?
No, he is. He's quiet and reserved. He's more of an observer that then jumps in with little jabs here and there. But he's not an outgoing personality like Alex, which is great, which is why they're a great tandem, right? Is if they were both outgoing personalities, they'd be competing for space. But Nicky is more than happy to let the cameras focus on Alex or Mike when we were there or whoever it was. He just enjoys coming to the rink, doing his thing, winning, going back home. I have a lot of respect for Nicholas. Love him as a competitor, as a teammate, and as a friend.
How about an interesting character, Mike Ribeiro?
Ribs. What a question. I used to call Ribs just a slinky on ice. Like, he was just a slinky. You look at this guy and you're like, is this guy here to play hockey? Or is he, like, want an autograph? Is you know, if you don't know his face. He just kind of, he's got this, I don't know if he weighs 150 pounds. But you couldn't hit him. You couldn't get the puck off him. He wasn't the fastest guy, but for some reason you couldn't catch him because he just used his body and he spun so well. And he had immense patience, and he had almost a beautiful ignorance about the game, and that a lot of people stress out about or have anxiety before games, and Ribs was so chill. He cared, but in a very nonchalant way. He was a lot of fun to play with, and actually I think he had a bigger impact in D.C., especially on the power play, than people actually realized, a lingering impact, I think, than people realized.
How about the recently retired and playoff legend Justin Williams?
Yeah, Willie. Willie was a tremendous teammate. When I think of Willie, I think of a guy that just got it done. Like, just got it done. And if you look at him, he's not the fastest guy. He doesn't have the hardest shot. He's a tireless work ethic, and he was a guy that you just did not bet against. Loved playing with Justin, learned a lot from him. Loved his outlook on the sport, and loved one quote I always remember from him. He said, you have to own the moment. Big moments come in games, and in order to be a championship team, you have to own the moment. And clearly he did that in his career.
What about your coach in Washington, Bruce Boudreau?
I knew that name was coming. I knew it. I love playing for Bruce. I mean, Bruce had his hands all over the game. I don't know if I've ever played for a coach that the sport mattered more to him, to his soul, to everything. He goes home and thinks about the sport. He loves the sport of hockey, and I had my best career years playing for Bruce. I was sad when he got let go. We won a championship together in the minors, and I was hoping we would do the same thing in Washington, but he was a huge part of my life, and he was a huge part of hockey in D.C. When we let Glenn Hanlon go, Bruce came on, and then it became Rock the Red, and we started winning, made the playoffs, and then we had great runs from there, started selling out the building, and hockey became hot in D.C., and it was a large part due to Bruce.
And why don't we end it with a Leaf? You didn't play with him long, but We call him a friend of Sportsman with James.
Well,
Dan.
And he's also a fellow former Moose Jaw Warrior.
Yeah, Morgan Riley.
Mo, love Mo. Strong skater. Strong. Like, I was impressed at how fast he was. Super strong legs, super strong skater. The guys love Mo.
like off the ice, there isn't a person that doesn't absolutely love Mo. Love my time with him. Wish I could have spent more time with those guys, playing with those guys, because they're just exceptional young talents, and off the ice they get along so well. Absolutely loved my time with him. Didn't get enough of it, but would have loved to play more with Mo.
You had, just to throw one more name in there, because you had Drew Doughty there.
Yep.
Poolsy.
Yep.
And, man, just what a dominant force on the back end. And, just a brief amount of time with him, but what was that like?
Just from playing against him, I mean, watched him and heard how amazing this guy was. But I was in the East the whole time. He's in the West. We play once or twice a year. So you're on the ice against him, maybe a few minutes a night. I don't know. You just don't see him with your own eyes that right. much. And then being on the ice with him daily, he reads the plays exceptionally well. He reads it faster than I mean, he's on Nick Backstrom's level on how they read the play so quickly. He communicates probably better than anybody I've seen on the ice. He is uber competitive. Uber competitive. It matters to him to win or lose. And I love that. As a teammate, you love that. Exceptional talents, abilities, all of that. But brings the intangibles to absolutely loved off the ice. And he's a lot of his attitude or persona is a lot like Mike Green. Can sometimes be very nonchalant and unorganized and all over the place, but very comical, a lot of comedy, loves the game, has fun with the guys, absolutely fantastic teammate. I was so impressed, man, with the little things that Drew did, and now he's got a big contract. He's going to be a king for a long time, and I look forward to watching him here in town.
And before we let you go, I had one question from my daughters, because America's Got Talent is their favorite show, and your wife's a host on it, and one night... Yeah. They called it her cabbage patch hair. It was really big hair. They wanted to know if that was her real hair or not. Do you know the show I'm talking about?
I'm well aware of the show. her hairstyle, I'm trying to think of, or you're probably saying, do you know the hairstyle you're talking about?
Like, yeah, it was like really big. It looked like it was like all curls, and it was just like craziness. And they just wanted to know if that was really hers or if it was a wig.
Well, she doesn't wear wigs on the show.
Okay, so it was hers then.
Yeah, sometimes she puts in like hair extensions or whatever, but her her hairstyle is just all kinds of crazy things. They never do the same thing,
okay.
ever. So she'll come in, and it just kind of depends also on my wife's mood and her hairstyle's mood that day, because she'll do something. She's like, babe, I was just feeling it. I just wanted to do this. I'm like, great. I'm like, whatever you want. I mean, my hair's been the same for 8 years. Who am I to talk about hair? But it's I don't know, she loves variety. My wife loves variety, and she's also not afraid to push any sort of creative limitations or whatever. So she'll go after it, and that's awesome that your daughter or daughters love the show. That's awesome. I'll pass it on to Jules. What did she call it?
The cabbage patch hair.
The cabbage patch hair. I'll see if I can find a photo. If I ask Julianne what her cabbage patch hair is, she'd probably know what.
I'll send you a picture, and we'll see what that's the one.
Please, appreciate it. Yeah,
thanks, buddy.
This is awesome, Brooks. This is just great, and thanks for your. I love the rapid fire. You didn't say a bad word about anyone.
I see a future in broadcasting in your life.
I've been asked that. I was actually even asked to like do some games, some stuff for that, and I don't know. I don't see it, guys. I'm a doer, not a talker. Like. Also, in my life, I have so many blessings right now. There's so many things that I get to do. There's adventure. I get to travel. There's so many opportunities in my life.
You can do that broadcasting? You can travel?
Yeah, but not the way. I'm talking like Indonesia, Turkey, Croatia, like just places like all over the world.
The Chell's not in Indonesia yet. You're right.
Yeah. Not yet, anyway.
No, no.
I don't know if I'll get there. My wife has asked me about that many times. Like, do you want to do that? Would you like to do that? It's a great way to stay involved in the sport and the people with the sport. Just haven't got there. I still feel like a competitor and an athlete. I haven't got to the other side of that yet.
Well, when you get there, just do the opposite of what we do, and you're going to be a huge success.
I love you guys, man. You guys have no idea. You get told this all the time, but you guys are rock stars in Canada. Like, you guys are the freaking best at what you do. Every locker room I've ever been in, guys love you guys and just laugh and watch you guys. So I've always loved what you do, always loved your show, your comedy, your sense of humor, and also this,
you guys are like, you guys, Jay, you're the most intense dude I've ever met.
Oh, yeah. But don't you forget it. Like,
I love that, man. I love what you guys do. So keep doing you. I'd love to be back on the show, too. Have me back on the show sometime.
You're welcome anytime, and I just sent you that photo.
Awesome. Okay, I'll check it out. I'll go ask you now, and I'll message you back.
Well, keep working out, and we'll attempt to try to get to your level someday. We're going to join Duthie for some barbell curls in his basement.
Dudes, open invite to come to L.A., work out, jump in the pool, and we'll hit a podcast. Just
that know sounds it's great.
On the nice. Thanks, buddy.
Great. Thanks, buddy. Have awesome. A great one.
You too. Enjoy, guys. See ya.
That's Brooks Lake, who... Hey, he's not officially retired, and nope. He is in shape.
Oh, yeah, we know that. God, like, it's crazy. Yeah, so very quickly, Montreal, before we wrap up. What a city, first of all. Just the greatest city.
That's amazing.
I could live there in a second. I just love it so much.
Construction, you could wrap that up
always
anytime.
There. It's never ending. They're always fixing the city. They're always fixing the roads. But yeah, we just had the best time. The nicest crew on the commercial reminded us of those old Kraft Celebration Tour crews we used to work with. Just a good bunch of dudes.
The best part was they were like, so what do you guys do?
Yeah, they and we're like, really know.
And then we were just being our jackass selves. And they're like, so you guys don't like to have fun, eh?
Yeah, they were good. They were good guys. But then we happened to have a... You know, an extra hour. We finished a little early, and we were flying back that night. And so I really wanted to eat our favorite Joe Beef, but they didn't open till 6. But their pub, Liverpool House, opened at 5. So we rolled into there.
But when you hear pub, you're thinking like, oh, guys sitting around all day. This is like a high end restaurant.
It really didn't feel like a pub at all. It just felt like Joe Beef times 2. And I've been telling people, we had a meal that night that was like, if you were a mafia boss and you were about to be sentenced to prison, this is the kind of meal that we had at that restaurant that night. And I like, we had slab. You wanted foie gras. You love foie gras.
Yeah.
And they had foie gras on the menu. They had a breakfast sandwich with foie gras, which is interesting. And then they had just foie gras. And you asked for it to be prepared a different way, which is bold. I liked it. But they were totally fine with that.
Yep.
And they brought out... So I said, well, I want an order of that, too. And then they brought out slabs and slabs of it. And I remember getting into the cab on the way to the airport. And I was... And you fell asleep.
I went night-night.
And I was in so much pain. Just from overeating. Like, I think I instantly had the gout.
Oh. Men feed my mouth.
Just the wine and the dessert wine. And then there was a pork chop on the menu. You didn't get it.
Because the food was too much. We were like gluttons. We were like licking our fingers.
It's like lobster spaghetti and scallops.
And more oysters. Wine, too.
Wine. It's incredible. So, if you're ever in Montreal, go visit Liverpool.
So what happened
House.
With your problems? Did you relieve them at the airport?
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't like a thing where I had to poop.
Oh.
I just, it was like, you know, that feeling where you're just like, oh my God, like I just need to get out, walk. But we were in that car and the traffic, as you mentioned, and the construction.
I couldn't remember any of it.
You were night-night.
And if you did have bowel issues, the landing, that would have got them right out of you.
Yeah, Porter Airlines. I love them. I love the airport.
Great.
I love going, being down, for me, living downtown and going to that island airport. It's so easy and so great. But every single landing, it's as if a new pilot, it's his first day. Like, it's so abrupt, just like, smash!
It's like, we're at 500 feet, bring her down.
Yeah. It's so, it's just like, ah!
Well, that's the... Oh, did Christoph, I break the mic?
Christoph didn't want to do
sorry.
That with the mic.
Take it easy. Let's take it easy there. Oh.
But every time. And then you text me when we land. Another smooth landing.
Yeah. It was... I mean, can you imagine being a flight attendant? You'd lose, like, parts of your spine, I think, over time.
But, like, I'm always napping. And yeah. I...
Oh, what a way to wake up.
I have no problems with planes, ever. Yeah. But sometimes I'm like, oh!
Yeah, it's something. Anyway, we had a great time, and we hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we hope to see you, if you're in Victoria or Vancouver,
you got to come and see this show. It's going to be so much fun. Christoph's going to be there. Stoff, you're flying out with us. We got a bunch of fun stuff. We got special guests that we're going to be bringing. We're going to be hearing from. And
yes, special guests. I can't stress that enough. Like guests where you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, you haven't picked up the tickets, totally understandable. Lots of people like to grab tickets last minute. McPherson Theater in Victoria this Friday. Vogue Theater in Vancouver this Saturday. We would love to see you out for the first two live.
Thanks again to Talladega Super Speedway. They've been a podcast fans forever, and they spent $70 to get this stuff to us. I don't think anyone's ever spent that much money.
How do you know that?
It was on the bill.
Oh, that's weird.
It was on the shipping thing.
Oh, that's strange. Well, that's really nice. Is it Kyle, right? Kyle?
Kyle.
Yeah. Kyle Busch himself. Packed that up and sent that to us. So that's pretty interesting from Kyle Busch. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you on Friday in Victoria.
See you then.
They're going home.
This is the Jay and Dan Podcast.